Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Vital Health Community Call for the month of October 2000 and what is it? 19. I keep writing 20 over and over again on various things. I am going to introduce you to Angelica, who is going to be leading the calls or organizing the calls when we have guests. And she's going to introduce our very special guest today. So, Angelica, take it away.
Okay. Everyone hear me?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I'm really excited to be a part of the Vital community now. I'm a newer member of Dr. Reed Ray's team, and I'm going to be very closely working with this community as well as our Energy Recharge Inner Circle year-long coaching program. So I'm really excited to introduce Brandon Crane today. He's one of my peers, and I was lucky enough to meet him just last May at one of our NEPP retreats. And he's a very special young man because he has healed himself from all kinds of bowel pathologies like Crohn's. I believe Dr. Udebree said he had ulcerative colitis. And the reason he's really special is because of his natural approach to healing. He's a very, very spiritually connected young man. He's very well-versed in how the gut is tied to our emotions and our spiritual health. He has a YouTube channel called Gut Back to Nature, and he helps his community that are suffering from bowel issues and imbalances and helps them heal naturally with nutrition, mindset, and spiritual health. So without further ado, if Brandon's ready, I will mute myself, let him take it away.
All right. Hello. Can everybody hear me?
I can hear you just fine, Brandon.
All right. Excellent. All right. I am so glad to be here, everyone. And without further ado, let's dive right into it. We're going to talk about the spiritual guide to healing your digestion. And we're going to start with a disclaimer. The information in this presentation is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it's not intended as medical advice. It's intended as sharing of our knowledge and information from the research of myself and the experts who have contributed here. We encourage you to make your own healthcare decisions based on your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. And so you are in the right place. If you experience gastric discomfort, some cramping, or even some pain, also, if your moods are unpredictable and you're finding it very hard to focus and you just can't seem to lose weight despite eating a relatively clean diet. And also, if you experience indigestion, heartburn, gas or bloating, or some acid reflux and irritable bowel syndrome. And you're also in the right place if you have Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis, or if you know anybody that has ulcerative colitis or inflammatory bowel disease or even colon cancer. And you're in the right place if you know it's just not the food. And if y'all stay till the end, I have a nice little link for you guys to for some tools to get you guys started. So we're going to begin with what is spirituality? It seems like such a loaded term, or maybe kind of a new agey kind of term, but we're going to dive into spirituality here. And it is really the quality of being concerned with the human spirit or the soul as opposed to material or physical things. And this includes both mental and emotional aspects. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're part of a religion or anything. Spirituality is just like, it's a very broad, very general, very large picture idea. And this is how well you connect with the world and those around you and really getting connected with your purpose. And ultimately your highest self. Oh, I think the slides are jumping around here. One moment. And your connection with the spirit or divine or Holy Spirit or source or God or all that is, whatever you want to call it, there's so many different terms. And I threw this little quote in there. The mystery of salvation is based on the death of the physical and the redemption of the soul. And ultimately what spirituality is, really cultivating awareness and awareness of yourself, your place in the world, and mental, emotional aspects and all of that, and how that connects you with getting tied to your purpose and really what we're here for. So it's like, can I trust humanity? Do I see myself with a bigger union, a bigger part? Do I know what gives me strength? Can I trust my journey? Am I connected with a larger world? And really, what's the most important part here is, can I find balance? Can I find balance? And this is an excellent way to start this. And it's in understanding the basics of digestion, you'll discover who is in charge. Here's a hint. It's not you. It's not you. And there's so many things that tie into it. And of course, it goes just well beyond the food. And as Angelica said, she shared part of my story, and really, Crohn's disease struck me in my early 20s. And I went into an emergency surgery to have a colon resection surgery because my intestines connected to my bladder. I had a lot of fistulas. I had a lot of just abdominal cramping, a lot of pain, and essentially I just couldn't handle it anymore. And it really got me connected with, waking up to the world of health and mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, physical health, and all those tie together as a synergy. And really, ultimately, what brought me here. And this is so excellent here, and it is, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And our spiritual existence is, everything is energy. Everything is a vibration. Everything is a frequency. This comes down to our thoughts, our bodies, our emotions, and as Laura Fine, maybe some of you know Laura Fine, our emotions are energy in motion. She loves to refer to that as energy in motion, and how everything is connected. The ocean, the trees, the clouds, the flora, the fauna, and really our hearts, how our hearts are connected to each and one another, whether we're across the world or right next to each other, how much our heart space and how much our actions influence those around us. And it's really important here to tie in that, the human eye and our senses can only pick up so many little frequencies. And there's an infinite amount of frequencies. And we can only see just a narrow band of them. And there's so much going around us that we can neither see or hear. But we know it's ultimately there. So I'm going to dive into some spiritual qualities and or frequencies or vibrations or however you want to come to understand them. And it is humility, we have forgiveness, compassion, purity, patience, discernment, humor, intimacy, integrity, gratitude, innocence, discipline, empathy, honor, kindness, acceptance, and ultimately, the big one here, it's love. Love, and how love, the vibration of love, brings us all together. And from Ram Dass himself, I'm not interested in being a lover. I'm interested in only being love. I feel like you really nailed it on this point. I'm only interested in being love. So we're going to talk a little about each of these elements, and everything needs food to live, even love. Even if we don't know how to nourish our love, it withers. When we feed and support our own happiness, we are nourishing our ability to love. That's why to love means to learn the art of nourishing our own happiness. And I'm not sure if everybody can see the slides here, but it looks like it is cut off. And I'm going to see if I can pull up what has been cut off here. And, so that quote right there, I mean, it really ties everything in, that love is learning the art of nourishing our own happiness. And we're learning to get out of our mind and feeling more into our heart, where the mind keeps us in the physical, and the heart has no boundaries. It is infinite. And from the Institute of Heart Math, they have a lot of science that really helps us understand this and start to really see the science beyond all of this. And the heart sends more signals to the brain than the brain sends to the heart. So there are more meridians that come from the heart than actually do the brain. And that is like really, really important to understand. And so we're going to go into humility. And humility doesn't mean that you think less of yourself. It just means you think of yourself less. So really part of the spiritual journey is becoming humble and dropping the ego, or what is referred to as the shadow self, or maybe kind of like that gremlin that wants to like speak inside of us and almost express to the outer world that affects everyone around us. And it's really important to be humble amongst your peers, but it is really powerful to practice self-gratitude and self-acknowledge your own accomplishments, because we can be really hard on ourselves and we can really have a never-enough attitude. So it's really important to be humble, but also to recognize that your own accomplishments and how far that you have come. And appreciation goes so far. And people will forget what you said, but people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. So just anyone in your surroundings, doesn't matter, your day-to-day existence, you can send out that love vibration of appreciation by saying thank you, or I appreciate you, or you're an inspiration, or you're a blessing, or whatever your language is, you know, you're awesome. And forgiveness, this is a really big one. We must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. There's some good in the worst of us and some evil in the best of us. When we discover this, we are less prone to hate our enemies. So it's very important to cultivate forgiveness and forgiving others, because they really don't know what they do. We have to see and kind of empathize with our peers and everyone around us, that maybe something someone did out of just sheer anger isn't really ultimately them. They have something, some energy stored inside them, and they're not expressing the lack of love for you as it is. You know, there's something inside them that they don't really understand or are maybe aware of themselves. So this is where compassion comes in. We have to be compassionate for those that maybe not understand where they are on this journey yet. And there's a Hindu mantra that is Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. And it means, may all beings everywhere be happy and free, and may the thoughts, words, and actions of my own life contribute in some way to the happiness and to that freedom for all. And really what we want to do is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And kindness. I want to make sure our slides are updated. Because it might be hard for you guys to follow along. So we are kindness. Let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness. Kindness in your face, kindness in your eyes, kindness in your smile, and kindness in your warm greeting. So even doing random acts of kindness will really begin to cultivate a lot of love energy in your own being and really, really affect where you find your place in this world and becoming more an open heart. And purity and purity. These are the shall nots and the shalls. And a lot of these are intuitive and thou shalt not kill, not steal, not lie, not hate, not oppress, but thou shalt love, thou shalt create, thou shalt seek knowledge, thou shalt self-develop, thou shalt have the courage and knowing thyself and really cultivating that awareness. And discernment. It is not truthful and not helpful, then don't say it. If it is truthful and not helpful, then don't say it. If it is not truthful and helpful, don't say it. But if it is truthful and helpful, we must wait for the right time. That is some wisdom. That is such wisdom to wait for the right time and cultivate a lot of patience. Which brings us into our next slide, and it's adopting the pace of nature, and our secret is patience. And that's allowing for the timing events to happen at its own pace and course without prematurely interfering. And not only patience for others, but also for yourself. I know that I struggle with that as well. I mean, I have a lot of patience for those around me, but like sometimes I'm not patient with myself. I'm just kind of like an all or nothing kind of attitude. And when we begin to rush things, we create an imbalance in the energies that inhibit practical positive results. And we see them as kind of ill fortune. So we kind of want to do a perspective and like perception change where really the things that happen to us are things to grow and learn from, and they're not ill fortune. And patience is really the space between your dreams and their manifestation. And integrity. And you may be the only Bible somebody else reads. So we're talking about walking your own talk and having the courage to say no and having the courage to face the truth and not gossiping about others or talking badly about others and keeping promises, even if it takes that extra little bit of effort. And also doing the right thing, whether anybody knows it or not. And gratitude. Gratitude. It'll increase your happiness. It'll decrease your depression and strengthen your resilience in the world. And it'll reduce your blood pressure. You'll have less chronic pain, increased energy, and ultimately a longer lifespan. And how a higher self-esteem will make you more approachable in social situations and more likely to really help others and really opening ourselves up to gratitude and how it will tie us into social situations will really help us get connected with our individual unique path. And even gratitude before bed can make us even sleep better at night. So really incorporating gratitude in your life is so important and extremely powerful. And there is some science behind this. And it rewires your brain and your gut, which I believe is a second brain, to produce more dopamine and serotonin. And those feel-good neurotransmitters activates the bliss centers of the brain and act as antidepressants. And with regular practice, our prefrontal cortex will rewire itself to better retain and appreciate positive experiences and deflect more of the negative ones. And we do have some gratitude practices here. And we want to really savor positive experiences and think of what you already have rather than what you don't. And tell the people all around you something that you appreciate about them. And be more kind and receptive and make eye contact with people in the world. And just give a smile at someone and or hold the door or volunteer something that you believe in. And even a gratitude journal. I have a little planner that has a little space for, you know, 10 things that you're grateful for. And it'll just be whatever I'm channeling, whatever I'm feeling in that day. And really that has become a powerful part of my practice. And it is very powerful in transforming our lives. So even having a gratitude journal can really, really, really benefit us. And innocence. And the most sophisticated people I know, inside, they are all children. And innocence is when the mind is not. We're developing kind of more that childlike innocence rather than being childish. And we want to free the mind, and it'll help us see more of the truth. And we really can't free ourselves from the mind. The mind can benefit us in some ways. But really what we're talking about is like freedom from conditioning, breaking free of those boundaries or those blinders that we create that really keep us from being that innocent, childlike, innocent being that is still within all of us. And generosity. Generosity goes so far. We want to do things for people not because of what they are, what they do in return, but because of who you are. And this will liberate us from the concept of scarcity. When we open up and maybe give something away that no longer serves us, and this will allow so much more space for new things to come into our life. When we shed those things that are almost burdening us and weigh us down and really being generous with that, is going to really, really allow more space for new things to come into your life. And honor and treat people as if they were what they ought to be and help them to become what they are capable of being. So this is honoring your parents, your siblings, your teachers, your guides, your gurus, your community, and helping them become their highest self or the best version of themselves or healers through you. By respecting their journey, and they will feel even charged up just through you respecting them and honoring them. And I also threw in here to honor your body. And it is hard to, you know, honor and or is very easy to honor and respect those around us. But sometimes we have a hard time slowing down a little bit and honoring our body and listening to what our body is telling us. And maybe it's to slow down, but sometimes the mind goes against the body. So it's really important to listen to our body and honor it and rest when we need rest and rejuvenation. And sometimes that takes discipline. Discipline is the bridge between goals and our accomplishments. And this will help us make better food choices and it'll help us exercise on a daily basis or maybe just a couple times a week. It'll help us form a meditation practice. It'll help us get in nature, or it'll help us do some journaling and writing that we've been trying to do for so long that we've been telling ourselves to do. So really cultivating discipline within our lives is really going to help our spiritual practice. And empathy and suffering and joy teach us, only if we allow them, how to make the leap of empathy, which transports us in the soul and the heart of another person. In those transparent moments, we know other people's joys and sorrows, and we care about their concerns as if they were our own. And this is something I've developed through the last few years, become really empathetic with others. And I used to be very close off and not be able to feel others. I was very kind of self-driven, and anyone around me that it just didn't matter. But really coming together and empathizing with people's thoughts and feelings and how everyone is important will really, really, really bring us together. And being vulnerable as well really ties into empathy. And owning our story can be hard, but not nearly as difficult as spending our lives running from it. Embracing our vulnerabilities is risky, but not nearly as dangerous as giving up on love and belonging and joy. And these are experiences that make us the most vulnerable. Only when we are brave enough to explore the darkness, we will discover the infinite power of, and I think it's cut off for you guys too. We'll discover the infinite power of our light. And this was a quote from Brené Brown, and she has a lot of wonderful books out there. And trying to think of the title of one of her books. It's I'll come back around back to that. Brené Brown, she has such wonderful works out there. And intimacy. If you had an hour to live and can only make one phone call, who would you call? What would you say? And why are you waiting? And intimacy really involves more than just a sexual or romantic love. It is intellectual intimacy. It's emotional intimacy. It's spiritual intimacy. Or even brotherly, sisterly love. And this is not so much like your siblings as it is maybe your soul family. So maybe we've gotten out there in our community and we really connect with people and they really feel like family. This is what I call our soul family, and they really help us grow and develop and show us the best sides of ourselves and how that spiritual path invites attention to our inner life in a way that inevitably connects us to what lives and breathes outside of ourselves. And intimacy is something that we can have in every moment of every day. So it's not so much with those around us as it is, I mean, life can be a dance. Even nature, even seeing small little moments in nature can be so intimate to ourselves. If we really learn to cherish that and open up our vision to see and feel that, it's really going to change every moment in our lives, especially if we start to cultivate living more in the present and living in the now. We'll really see beautiful moments that will change every moment. And acceptance, this is something that even I struggle with still to this day. And acceptance of certain realities doesn't preclude idealism, but it can lead to certain breakthroughs. And this is not a wishy-washy passive way of making do with just what is around you. It's about letting it flow and unfold before you without getting in the way. And again, developing patience and learning to accept that and just letting things unfold in their own way. And that learning that every situation has its own value and the universe is always there for us. It's never against us. Everything is an experience to learn from and an experience to learn through. And humor. Humor is so important, and laughter is some of the best medicine. And even pictures of the Dalai Lama, you always see him laughing and enjoying. And I swear we don't privilege joy as much as we do suffering. We seem to focus more on the suffering aspects of life rather than really embracing joy in even some of the silliest moments. Even children playing in the mud or splashing in a puddle. Sometimes we want to be like, oh, hey, don't play in the mud and don't get muddy. You're going to be all dirty. Or we can change our perspective and we could see that as something as laughable and enjoyable. And we could see the childlike innocence in others and really begin to, yeah, cultivate that humor and joy and laughter into our lives, because laughter creates a sense of connection to one another. It makes people more receptive to listening to your message. And as much as life is a serious, deep, and at times tragic, it's also a wild, funny, and ridiculous adventure. And I thought this was funny. It's all about perspective. It is all about perspective. It is so, 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 so true. And once we begin to flip our perspective, a lot of things will start to change in our life. And as much as I was talking about spiritual qualities, there's also unspiritual qualities. And these are the five modes of harmful mental action. And most of us know these things, where they're lust, anger, greed, vanity, and attachment. And any of these will hold an individual in the physical plane and keep one from traveling in the world beyond. These passions will dry up the wellsprings of creativity within us. They will bring unthought of aberrations, rising largely from fear and anger. And this fear that concerns us here, for fear of the unknown, is one of the outstanding causes of decline in the human spirit. To it can be attributed the downfall of anyone who want to move out of their physical state of consciousness and into the higher states. And fear of the unknown really, really breaks the spirit. And with all these spiritual qualities, what we're trying to find is balance, balancing everything. We don't want to become too over empathetic, because we can really start to take on the energies of others and become very sensitive to the energy of others. And we can almost care about others more than they care about themselves. So we really want to cultivate balance. And there is a Goldilocks principle: not too much, not too little. And again, changing our perception and seeing that nothing is ever bad, or we're not victims of life, and that every opportunity we are here to embrace and every opportunity is here to learn from. So it's all about reshaping our perception. All right, so Brandon, you've been talking about all these spiritual qualities, and what on earth does this have to do with digestion? And I'm going to come back to that quote that I started with, and understanding the basics of digestion, you'll discover who's in charge. And it's not you. It's all these other energies that are going on around us. So how this ties into digestion, it's these outside forces or energies affect our physical bodies or our physiologies, and that these blocked and suppressed emotions or spiritual elements can keep us in the sympathetic dominant state. And we have our autonomic nervous system, and I'll have a nice diagram here on the next slide that really shows our sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems. And the sympathetic is our fight, flight, or freeze, and the parasympathetic is rest, digest, heal. And healing can really only happen in the parasympathetic nervous system. So learning to cultivating that calm, and learning even through breath work how we can get into that parasympathetic nervous system and cultivate healing into our internal organs, and how our internal organs really affect how we connect with those around us. And so here's the breakdown of the autonomic nervous system. And when we're in the parasympathetic division, we can see that it stimulates the salivary flow, and it stimulates digestive juices and really gets intestinal motility going. Whereas sympathetic, it will inhibit the salivary secretion. It'll inhibit stomach motility and secretion. It'll inhibit our pancreas. It'll inhibit our adrenals and inhibit intestinal motility. And I want to talk about the chakra system and how there are energy systems in our body, and how these energy systems tie into our emotions, and how our emotions are related to certain endocrine glands or certain organs. And really, we're going to be concerned with, obviously, our heart space, but like the lower three are really going to have to do a lot with your digestion. And this is the solar plexus, and it resides right in the center of our chest, right in our sternum, and also our sacral chakra, and also our root chakra. And how our root chakra is really has to do with feeling secure, and how lack of security can really, we can feel it in our gut, and it really has a lot to do with our colon and our small intestine and our stomach, and how well we're digesting, as well as our sacral chakra. And this has to do with our connection and ability to accept others and new experiences. and our solar plexus chakra, which is our more of our willpower or our ability to be confident and in control of our lives. And again, how all these energy systems tie in with the emotions and certain endocrine glands, or in this case, our digestive system, and how that could really cause like a tightening in our digestive system. And it could really inhibit the way our bodies function and flow. So we really want to work on these energy blocks and getting rid of the obstructions to the flow of energy or stored energy, and learning that symptoms are signals, the signals that are telling us something, there's an energy blockage somewhere. And this is why I believe that we are given a physical body. And it's so that we can really tell if our emotional states are out of balance, if our spiritual health is out of balance, if our mental health is out of balance. The physical body is really a way to receive these symptoms and signals, and such as constipation. You want to talk about an obstruction to the flow of energy, and that's constipation. Imagine what constipation internally will do to you in a spiritual life. I mean, that it can manifest on such a deep level. Imagine going to a yoga class constipated and how much that affects you. It keeps you from being in that present moment. And so do all these other symptoms. It's if you're having acid reflux or indigestion or heartburn or bloating or pain, these symptoms or signals can really keep us out of that present moment where we're going to be almost stuck in our bodies, and that symptom is telling us to flee from a certain situation maybe, or not even go into a situation where we can really get out in the world and become connected with our purpose. And really, awareness is key. We need to tune into our own awareness and listen to what our bodies are telling us. And sometimes this is obvious. Sometimes we have a diagnosis or this chronic illness or pain. And sometimes they're subtle. Sometimes they come out as anxiety, or you're short with others, or road rage. And sometimes it's so deep within us that sometimes it is trauma. And these issues are in our tissues, and we could really begin to store trauma. I know our own Kimberly Ward, she talks about the science of trauma and really talks about trauma and how much that really affects us. And in this case, how much it can affect us on a spiritual level. So when you begin to develop spiritually, your reality around you changes. When you develop spiritually, we begin to attract those fundamental pillars of health. So our relationships change. While we work on ourselves, our food choices change. Our emotions can begin to flow. Our environment changes. Our home changes. And we really begin to develop more mindfulness practices. And in this case, a lot more mindful eating, learning to slow down, learning to do appreciation before meals, and becoming calm and relaxed, and stimulating digestive juices, and becoming mindful chewers so that our food can digest a lot better. And as your vibration increases, so too does our motility and our ability to digest a lot better. So here's more of the physiology of spirituality and how intimacy and empathy promote the release of oxytocin, and gratitude increases the production of dopamine and serotonin, and love, kindness, and generosity decrease the release of cortisol from our adrenals, so that stress hormone, and how laughter releases endorphins and enhances the effectiveness of T cells, which really builds a lot stronger immune system. And a lot of us know that 70% of our immune system is within our gut. And on the same note, 70% of our serotonin is produced in the gut. And a lot of people think it's produced in the brain or in one of our endocrine glands. But really most of it is produced in the gut. And really what's going on in your gut is going to affect your mood, your anxiety, depression, and ultimately your focus. And when we are lacking focus in our lives, it's really hard to get in touch with that spiritual path or their own independent path, a path without resistance. We want to talk about that gut feeling. It's like the yoga teacher tells you to listen to your third eye because our third eye is our intuition. And Brandon tells us to lead with our heart. But we also have this gut feeling. And I really believe that gut feeling is tied into our heart, that when we're feeling those nervous Nelly butterflies, that really that's our heart telling us that, like, hey, listen to that gut feeling and really start to listen to that. It's so, 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 so important. And so much as spirituality has to do with digestion, what does digestion have to do with spirituality? And really, it's getting connected with our purpose, really beginning to flow with that. And more I got rid of these obstructions to my flow of energy and really started to fix my digestion and come into these natural healing alternatives, it's really opened up a whole entire door for me, a whole entire window of opportunity. And I've really been able to share my story with the world and really how much that has helped so many around me. And I've connected with so many and really began to help transform other people's lives so that they can ultimately get in touch with their purpose. So this has been very, very fulfilling for me to really be able to get out there and share my story with the world and really help show that, you know, hey, I'm not the healer. Really, people are their own best healer, and that's really what you want to guide people is showing them that they are the healer. Healing really happens from within. It's within all of us. And so I'm going to cover some ways that we can incorporate a spiritual practice and ways to get connected with our spirit. So I talked a little bit about breathing. Breathing is really your center. And really right now in this moment, we can all even just take a nice deep breath and come back into that parasympathetic and kind of become more calm. And how meditation can really, really help us observe our own thoughts and help us remove that self-sabotage, and how meditation can really help us become self-aware and become aware of ourselves in the world and help us come connected with our place in the world. And there's also mantras or affirmations and really what you think you become. So, I mean, there's all kind of mantras. It's just, you can even say, like, I am healthy. I am health. Or my digestion is working so smoothly and my digestion is healing and is healed, and really connecting with what you have now. It's like your digestion is healed. And that way we can focus on that goal and really, again, what we think we become. And the more we repeat these things, the more we become them. So the more we think about healing our digestion and saying we are healed, that is the goal that we are going to achieve, what we think we become. And some other ways, I mentioned through journaling, this allows our thoughts to flow and it can really help us see what is going on inside. Whereas our thoughts could be just a soup, kind of like a huge ocean of words, and they could just be floating around and they could really overcome and overwhelm us. But when we put them out on paper, it allows the energy to flow and we can really say, hey, wow, okay, now these thoughts are out on paper. I don't have to really store them or keep running back over through them. Journaling is incredibly powerful. And this is something I need to incorporate into my life as well, kind of becoming like a daily practice of journaling. Of the moments that I've journaled, it has helped me so, 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 so much. It helps, allows that energy to flow rather than be stored inside there. And how the power of intention is so important, that everything begins with intention, that when we really focus on our intention, that again, what we think we become, once we set that intention out into the universe, it is so important with getting connected with our spirit. And fasting, and I want to put a disclaimer out here. We want to, you know, don't just dive into like fasting with food, because that could be kind of a dangerous thing. Definitely take things slow, but I'm not talking about fasting from food always. This could be just a social media fast. This could be a fast from your job. Even everybody needs a vacation, and just like fasting from our own work, and just the daily grind is so important. Really taking some time to rest and fasting from our everyday, day-to-day hectic lives is really important, even just for a few moments. And like I said earlier, appreciation before meals really, really helps us get connected. And so does our community. Our community is so powerful. I've had a lot of people in my community show me like things that I almost couldn't even see myself. I feel like others can help see your place and really connect you with those in your community. So getting out there in our community is so important and so healing. And also yoga. Yoga is so important. It is a really a mind, body, and spirit practice that we can really get in tune with our insides and our body as well. And my partner, she is a restorative yoga teacher. And this is, it's not so much to do with getting an intense exercise. Some of that hot power and hot yoga is very intense. My partner, she teaches restorative yoga, which is really cultivating rest and relaxation and getting in the state of ashunya, which is the state between sleep and consciousness, and how that is so regenerative and so healing to the body, and really becoming to like calm the mind and really beginning to relax and sink deeply and learning to surrender and letting go. Yoga is very, very, very powerful. And nature, getting out in nature. This is something that has completely transformed my life. I started getting out in nature alone and by myself. And I started to realize that a lot of these thoughts were in my mind, and my mind started racing. I thought I had my life together, but really when I got out in nature, I realized how much was going on in my mind and how tense I was. So nature was so healing for me. It really allowed me to slow down and adopt that patience of nature and really being able to step back and just slow down. Nature has been very, 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 very healing. And even just getting out around waterfalls, all those negative ions, which are so calming and soothing to our bodies, it's a really, really powerful experience. So the cost of digestive imbalance, that could be our comfort. It can cost us relationships. We can have the side effects of medications. And it could really keep us from fully participating in the activities that we really love and really want to do. And this can really impair our focus and how this really affects our job. And this could lead to financial burdens. And this is ultimately like a loss of freedom. So we really want to develop part of the spiritual practice and cultivate a spiritual practice into our lives so that it can really help tune our digestion in. We can calm that digestion and really bring it into a healing state. And I really want you guys to make a commitment to yourselves, because I believe our natural state is health. Our natural state is health, and we are self-healing, self-regenerating, and self-regulating, and our natural state is really health, and that is really pulling in the synergy of all these fundamental pillars of health between our mind and our body and our spirit, and synergistically weaving them in together and cultivating balance is so important. I want to come back to balance and balancing all these things into our lives so that we can really start to heal on a deeper level, and that we can get connected more with our purpose. All right, that's as much as I have with the slides. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you, Brandon. Well, I've been checking the Q&A and the chat, just kind of monitoring. I haven't seen any questions. So if you guys have questions, let us know. type them in the chat, or you can fill in the Q&A. But I guess I'll kind of start because I love this topic, and it's really my passion too, having suffered from digestive imbalances myself. What are the trends that you see in your clients who come to you and present with Crohn's or any type of digestive imbalance? And what are the, do you notice any trends in their spiritual or emotional block?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people, they, when they have digestive imbalances, it, especially with people with Crohn's or colitis, a lot of them, they don't even want to go out. They don't even want to leave the home. So it's really hard to like get connected with our community if we're constantly experiencing some diarrhea or something that we don't want to go. We don't even want to leave the home. So it's it's really hard to balance that digestion and really even get out in the community to really even become connected with, our own individual paths.
So it sounds to me like what you're saying is loneliness, right? That lack of connection seems to be a common thread.
Yeah, definitely loneliness. And I know I felt that for my own self. I felt like I had such self-sabotaging thoughts within myself that I really didn't even want to get out there or share myself with anyone or be vulnerable. And I really began to close myself off and really isolate myself from the world. Yeah, isolation.
Yeah. So I just want to say that was an amazing presentation. It was a perspective that nobody really talks much about. You know, we give lip service to calm down, you know, say grace before meals, whatever. But you went into such a level of depth and with so much compassion and so much, personal connection to it and so many great things. So I just want to say thank you for such an amazing presentation.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here with everyone. Thank you.
It's our pleasure. I'm looking to see. I don't see any, like Angelica, I don't see any other questions, but let me refresh and see. Yeah, no questions have come in, but chat, there's a lot of chat.
I saw some discussion earlier about the polyvagal theory and also about being an empath and how that can sometimes cause its own, concerns related to over-identifying with other people's energies and being really highly sensitive. Do you have any experience with that, Brandon? What's your take on how that ties to digestion?
Yeah, so I am a highly sensitive creature, and I've noticed how much that has affected my my digestion even, and even with working with clients. I love working with people. That is my passion. But I mean, sometimes you can only work with so many people. And when you work with several people in a day, that can be very, very draining. And it could really almost affect even my digestion. I mean, it takes a lot. I could really take on the energy of others because I could feel them deeply. I know the pain that they're feeling. And I know they really want to get out there. They just want to live a normal life. They want to be connected with friends. And yeah, being deeply empathic, I mean, you could be very, very sensitive to other people's energies and almost take on other people's energy as if it were your own. And yeah, like I was saying with the Goldilocks principle, sometimes you could take on too much of that energy and it could really, really affect you. and right. You're the one trying to help guide others. And yeah, so there is a balance. There is a balance.
Yeah. I agree with you there. I think that there are so many people who are that way and don't realize that they're empaths and don't realize that what they're feeling is someone else's energy. And I think a lot of people like you, you know, being very sensitive, tend to develop a lot of physical problems, especially at a young age, because you're taking on other people's energy. But you don't know. You just experience the symptoms and then you go from, you know, the doctor visits and all that. I think that there are definitely ways to to approach that, to learn. I mean, and that's it's a constant learning. Like, how do you protect your energy? Like Laura Fine teaches this, you know, this whole thing about, you know, here's your energy field and this is me and that's you. This is me and that's you. And learning strategies for, okay, I'm going into a situation where there's going to be a lot of people in that room. And I know that I'm very sensitive and I may pick on, there's going to be people suffering in that room from whatever emotional or physical problems, and learning strategies, and, you know, doing some heart math or doing some breathing or yoga or other things to just like recognize that, like even acknowledge it, I think is the first step, because so many people go through their lives just picking up on other people's energies and taking it on as their own. So, you know, a lot of the stuff you taught in this presentation can be used to help protect that. But I think you might agree, and I'd love to hear from you, that it's a constant, that you constantly have to be aware. This is me, that's you. This is my pain, that's your pain. And when we take it on, then we can't really help other people with their pain when it, like, we go into convulsions because we're feeling.
Yeah. Everything is a constant learning process, and just being patient. Like you were saying, this is me, this is you, and really learning to become grounded and not taking on all that energy of the world. Yeah, learning grounding. And I believe breath work is so powerful to keeping us grounded. And it is a slow learning process, definitely. Yeah, don't take on everything at once or kind of just jump around. Just take everything nice and slow and gentle, and that every day is a learning process. And yeah, just take it slow and honor yourself, and just be patient with the process.
Absolutely. And what Angelica mentioned about the vagus, you know, you mentioned the vagus nerve. I don't know if you specifically said it, but parasympathetic, and that's vagus nerve, and really learning to nurture the vagus nerve is a really great thing to learn, a great tool to have. And there's more and more trainings and books coming out. And those of you in ERC, we're going to be doing a whole training on the vagus nerve, because it's so important, and there's so much new research on how we can take care of it. Vagus nerve is part of that parasympathetic nervous system. That's what we activate when we say grace before meals, when we do heart math, when we take long, slow breaths and then accentuate the exhale and just allow ourselves to drop into that calm, like you called it, rest and digest and heal state of the nervous system. And really learning to activate the vagus nerve is a great tool. Are there any other questions?
Well, it looks like we don't have any more questions.
Beautiful.
Mentioning some cool tips for protecting one's energy container, malachite.
So like,
it's so funny that you say that right now. I have a piece of malachite and triphicola with me right now.
I love that. That's really a great tool to have. Is it an easy stone to find?
Yeah. This one is very easy to find. Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, I love the perspective. I love that, you know, you're really helping people to see this, because so many folks that we see coming into our programs, and rightly so, you're like, ew, I've tried this and I've tried that and the medical route isn't working. What herbs can I take? What foods can I take? You know, and those are all important, as you know, and I know you are very dedicated to your clean diet. But that's not the only thing. And people can be on this most amazing diet, but still having issues because they're not taking care of the spiritual energetic side. And Petra said she sent a question. Let's see, I'll refresh it. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
You want to read that? Do you see it, or do you want me to read it, Angelica?
I just refreshed. So Petra asked, what do you think when I tell you I'm always tired? Is that also an empath?
Right? Hmm.
Can you repeat the question? It was kind of cutting out here.
Sure. What would you think when I tell you I'm always tired? Is that also an empath?
Okay, yeah. So it's really, I mean, it's a combination of all these energies. And like I was saying, it is mind, body, and spirit. And it could be that you're overly empathetic. And again, it's not that energy that the things that we can even see, and but we could be feeling it in our bodies. And like I was saying earlier, it's like developing awareness, and it could be that we are overly empathetic, and it is a combination of all these other things as well. I mean, like, again, with the synergy, it's a synergy of all the fundamental pillars that could really be causing kind of like that fatigue as well. And so it does go beyond the empathy, but like for me, for my personal experience, I feel like it is because I am such a empath. I'm a water sign, so I really take on the energy of a lot of others, and I notice it. I notice it in my day-to-day life, how much that is an energy drain.
Yeah, that's a great answer. And, you know, it is, there's physical things, and there's hormonal things, and there's not absorbing the right nutrients, so the digestive tract. There's a lot of things that we have to look at with low energy, but I think a lot of the times people are overlooking the fact that it may be just that you're taking on the weight of the world, right? The weight of the world is on your shoulders. Everybody's energy is pushing you down, and then you don't have it. And another thing, you know, that you kind of mentioned was belief systems, right? When we take on limiting beliefs, when we take on beliefs that the world is an unsafe place, the environment is dirty, and I am breathing in this bad stuff, therefore I'm going to get sick. We manifest what we believe. And yeah, the world, there are negative components in the world, granted. And there are beliefs that we've brought on, and some of them from our parents, and some of them from our school teachers, and some of them from just, you know, being out in the world. And those are things to explore as well when it comes to energy.
Definitely, definitely.
All right. I don't see any others. Susan put a link. Is that the malachite? Thank you, Susan. Susan put a link to malachite. So if anybody wants that, it's in the chat. Breath
All right.
So yeah.
It looks like we are out of questions. I refreshed one more time. Lynn says rigid or discordant mental physical conditions can be transformed through centering practices that take one beyond all conditions. Yeah, I mean, I think that's really the theme of this discussion.
Yeah.
Grounding in oneself.
Yeah, and you know, it's real interesting. I just, Laura Fine posted a link to a TED Talk, and it was by a cardiologist. And it is really to show that the effect of emotions on physical structures in the body, not just, you know, the functioning pieces, but the physical. And he had this wonderful talk about how the emotions, like negative emotions, change the shape of the heart, and that changing of the physical shape of the heart affects its functioning. Very, very fascinating stuff. So we have to just step beyond the feeling of, okay, this, you know, this is hurt, therefore it's a physical thing, therefore we have to transform it with a physical remedy. You know, we have to get beyond that, because when we get beyond that, the possibilities are endless. I'll see if I can find that link, and I'll post it here in the chat. It was just a very fascinating TED Talk. And I'm always so grateful when people send me links to TED Talks or YouTube videos, because I am never out there looking at YouTube videos or TED Talks. I'm just, you know, doing what I do, which is busy. So when somebody says, oh, I found this, it's awesome. Here, was it with Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so fascinating. I even believe like our sternum, or like around our heart space, will close in physically. I mean, it kind of like our chest will almost begin to like close in and kind of like cave in, like around our heart, like on a physical level, as much as it does like an emotional, spiritual level. It's really interesting stuff to think about.
It's so fascinating that our thoughts can change our physiology. Our thoughts can change our anatomy. You know, physiology is something because it's movement, but to actually have thoughts be able to change the anatomy, and this is a cardiologist, this is his specialty, And I encourage you guys to watch that because it just opens up the world of possibility. I mean, if there is research that shows that this does this to the heart, what else is there? What does it do to the endothelial lining of the vessels? What does it do to the lining of the gut, right, where it's getting inflamed and destroyed and ulcerated in things like inflammatory bowel disease? How our thoughts affect that is fascinating, not just how it causes it, but how it can heal it, right? And we don't have to go into this gloom and doom when this negative diagnosis comes in. We go, okay, what can I do to shift this? What has happened in my habits, my thought patterns, my emotions that have created this? And wow, I can undo this, right? It just gives, it puts the power back for our own healing into where it belongs, which is ourselves. So anyway, encourage that. All right. I don't see any other questions. You guys good? How was this? Give Brandon some nice words to leave with in terms of gratitude. And I mean, it's always nice when you're a speaker and people appreciate what you do and you get to hear that. It just makes it all worthwhile. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Great job, Brandon, says Susan. I like being reminded of the spiritual energetic medicine because I get so in my head. Angelica says, we all get in our heads. It's so easy to get in your head. Excellent, informative, eye-opening. Thanks much from Cynthia. Thank you, everyone. LaShawn, Petra, great, with capital G-R-E-A-T. Wonderful, Petra.
No, thank you.
Diana, thank you, Brandon. We'll be following you. I think Lynn put in... I put in the link to these slides, so if you want to download the slides. But there's also a link earlier to your website. What is your website, Brandon? People asked earlier.
Yeah, it's not a website. This is for a guide that I put together.
Oh, okay. Okay, got it.
Five of my secrets to restoring your guts, and let me tell you right now, there's more than five of them. But this is a good start.
And what's the best way for people to follow you? Is it to get on your YouTube channel, The Gut Back to Nature?
Yeah, I just started a YouTube channel, and I do share a lot through Instagram, a lot of my personal experiences and that sort of thing. I do have a Facebook group. I have a Facebook support group that really all of us come together, and we can really be vulnerable and kind of share our experiences and really connect with one another. And, yeah, that Facebook group is, everything is under Gut Back to Nature.
Gut Back to Nature. Love that. Gut Back to Nature. All right, guys. Anything more you want to add, Angelica?
That's it. I'm just going to absorb this for a little while because it was, I think we all grew a lot from this talk.
Yeah. And Lynn just put, thank you, Lynn. Lynn just put the link to the YouTube channel if you want to just click it and get, follow it. I'll add that to my follows that come up on one or two of them. I don't know how I get on those follows, but somehow on my phone periodically, the most amazing YouTube videos will pop up. So I will add you there. Thank you guys so much. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.